Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, where again at verse 25 we hear Jesus say, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is God's word. The story of Chicken Little is older than you might expect. A Danish version appeared in print in 1823, but the fable itself has been around for much longer than that. And the basic story, if you don't know it, is a little chicken gets bonked on the head by a falling object, typically an acorn, and then proceeds to work the barnyard into a frenzy with cries of, "The sky is falling." And that story has been told and retold in print and on film, probably making the biggest splash in 2005 with a fully merchandised Disney version. And it was not their first version of Chicken Little's story, but it was certainly their loudest. Why am I talking about Chicken Little? Well, let me explain. We've reached a point in the church year where traditionally we talk about final things. At the end of the church year, we talk about end times. Makes sense? But I have to admit that when I see these kind of Bible passages, I wonder, when it comes to end times stuff, has the church's message become like Chicken Little? I ask this question because I'm afraid that in the eyes of unbelievers, warnings of the end inspire more eye-rolling than anything else. When preachers insist that Jesus is definitely coming back in our lifetime because of current events, and here's the date, the church's message becomes a Chicken Little message. A generation comes, generation goes, the end does not come, and since it was a Christian predicting this or that date, a skeptical world thinks that all Christians are convinced the sky is falling. Since it hasn't yet, the Christian message, the real message that centers on Jesus Christ and his redemption, is dismissed. It's enough to make the believing church want to avoid talking about the issue. But that would be a mistake as well. Jesus spent a great deal of time teaching about signs of the end and what that would mean for those who follow him. So clearly it deserves our attention. So what did Jesus teach? Well, we saw a big chunk of it in today's gospel lesson. Jesus wasn't fooling around when he told his disciples about the end of Jerusalem as they knew it. It's graphically described in verses 20 through 24 of today's gospel lesson. And many people who heard his words were still alive when the city, including the temple, was completely destroyed in 70 AD. You see, what sets Jesus apart from Chicken Little prophets is that his predictions actually happen in time. That's why we must pay attention to what Jesus says next. He speaks vividly about the laws of nature being shaken as God begins to withdraw his patience from the human race. This will be more than the wars and the natural disasters that are already plaguing God's creation. Jesus says that the sun and the moon and the stars will be affected as the universe itself begins to come unglued. How long can the church proclaim such things until people stop listening? And yet, the Holy Spirit enters our hearts through his word and convinces us that Jesus is the Son of God, is our Savior from sin and hell, is our Lord, is the teacher of truth. And this is what he teaches about the end of the world. He means it when he says entire nations will be shaking and fainting with fear. He means it when he says the heavenly bodies themselves will be shaken. And he means it when he says that he, the Son of Man, will be seen coming in power and great glory. And right there is the good news in all of this apocalyptic chaos, all of the fearsome signs that Jesus names are signs. And they are signs signaling the visible return of Jesus. Those who are alive at this time in history, who have been waiting with faith in their hearts, are told when these things begin to take place, stand up, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What will that feel like for the faithful who watch as Jesus descends in the same way that he ascended into heaven? The prophet Malachi slipped it into his prophecy in today's Old Testament reading. I don't know if you noticed, but he said, "You will go out and leap like calves from the stall." Those who are waiting for Jesus, who see him coming back, will jump for joy. That's what the prophet was getting at. Straighten up. Look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And the redemption that Jesus talks about here is release from the consequences of sin that remain with us. Think of it this way. Right now, you have the forgiveness of your sins. Right now, you are the recipient of God's undeserved grace and the gift of faith. You right now have the promise of heavenly life with God that never ends. You have these things already through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, who comes to us through his word and sacraments. But we're still waiting for the perfection that will only come when we are delivered from this world. In the meantime, we have to deal with the cumulative effect of sin in the world. And those consequences include, but are not limited to, sickness and disease, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual struggle, the pain of broken relationships and families, and finally, death itself, and the ripple effects of grief and loneliness that it causes. But be convinced that your redemption from these things is drawing near. The same Jesus who was crucified, died, and rose again to conquer your death will return on a cloud as your Redeemer. Now, you know what a Redeemer does, right? A Redeemer is a person who rescues another by paying a ransom. The ransom Jesus paid for you was his own precious blood, his own innocent suffering and death. And with that ransom payment, your account is credited for heaven. When Jesus descends to earth, amidst this world's last violent gasps, he will redeem you from the power of sin's consequences. You know what that means? It means no more sadness, no more brokenness, no more suffering, no more isolation, no more pain, no more hatred, no more death. Until that great day, the church will continue to broadcast Jesus' simple invitation, today is the day to turn around, to come close to God, to feel terror at your sins, to mourn the wrong that you've done, to give up spiritual self-reliance and to trade it for reliance on God. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks to Jesus, the sacrifice that he made, heaven is yours, thanks to his rising from the dead. Trust in his actions. And if the sea roars and the heavenly bodies shake and you see Jesus coming down on a cloud, you can stand with your head raised to the sky, welcoming your Redeemer. So may the prayer of the church always, always be, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea, come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen.